So welcome. Everybody's gone to their classes. My class is still in here. Praise the Lord. Let's go over to Mark 11:20. Mark 11:20. We're going to head down a path. This is going to take us probably about 6 weeks to get down this path. One reason, because I'm going to leave y'all in a little while and go to the tent meeting, but I'll be right back. Beside that, we'll continue on this path. I think you're going to like it. I'm going to start out somewhere, and then you're going to see where I'm going to go. So this is Mark 11:20. Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Peter, remembering, said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away." So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God, for surely I say unto you, whosoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray," says, ask, pray, "believe that you receive them and you shall have them. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against any one, forgive them, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses." Now, I hope you took hold of the things that we talked about the true vine. I hope you got that. And it'll certainly strengthen your faith if you do that. Meditate on that and remember that the vine has promised to do everything for you. All you have to do is become a receiver. And so he'll produce what you need to produce fruit. And so you can rest in that. These verses here, of course, we know this is our great faith teaching. The truth is that faith is the diligent effort to rest in God. That's what faith is. It's a diligent effort to rest in God. In fact, the Apostle Paul told Timothy to fight the good fight of faith. Don't fight life through life with the flesh, but don't fight people. The weapons of your warfare are not carnal. And so you labor to enter into the rest by using spiritual tools. And your spiritual tools overcome what goes on in the natural. So we're going to start here, but we're going to walk up to something that we need to step into for the next chapter of the Victory Church life, what we're all going to do together. Now, notice here in verse 21, "And Peter, remembering, said to him, 'Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away.'" It said Jesus cursed the fig tree. Got that? Yeah. Okay, now, here in Texas, we view cursing as cussing, okay? So, you know, people using the Lord's name in vain and describing things that you'd say it out your mouth, but you wouldn't hold it in your hand, you know, things like that. But, you know, that's cussing, right? But Jesus is not cussing. Jesus is not cussing at the fig tree. He's cursing the fig tree. So he doomed it, I'd say. That's how I would say it. He declared its destiny because it wasn't producing any fruit. So he declared its destiny. You got that? All right. So in Matthew 21:20, when he tells the story, when he writes the story, it says, "When the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, 'How did the fig tree wither away so soon?'" So, you know, I've told you so many times, mountains move when you launch an authoritative command from your spirit. I tell you all that over and over because that's what's true in these verses. I learned that from Brother Hagin. So not a phrase that you heard from someone or that sounded good. It's because you've got something going on the inside, you get it out on the outside, and you'll see things change. So there's great verses to check your faith out, so you can do that. And these verses right here tell you these simple things, and I'm just going to tell you real quick because we're going to move through this. They tell you this: you have to believe in your heart, not in your mind. You have to believe in your heart. Did you know you can doubt in your mind and still believe in your heart? And you'll get that straightened out if you work on it. It'll straighten out. So to believe in your heart, it takes hearing and hearing the word. And we know that. That causes your faith to rise up. But then he said you have to say something out your mouth. This seems to be more of a problem with people. In fact, Jesus told Brother Hagin, he said, you'll have to teach on the speaking part more than you will the believing part, three times more, because people will believe something, but for some reason, they don't bother to say it. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. And so you have to learn to talk to things. And so you have to learn to launch words of authority, which we were just talking about. You have to learn to launch words of authority. So if you want faith to work, then also the other thing, so you've got believing, you've got saying, and then forgiving. Walking in love. You have to walk in love. That's where your authority is. Your authority is in Christ, and he is love. And so if you forgive anything, anybody, then you're cruising down the right line. Amen. Your faith will be working. So you have to get word on it, get promises on it, speak it, and walk in love. Amen. Amen. Okay, so I heard Pastor Nancy, I've been watching her this week. It's been really good, but she said, if you stay in Christ, you're staying in love. You're staying in love. That's your place. You walk in love. God will take care of the rest. So believe you receive. Don't doubt in your heart. Launch authoritative commands. Let your conversation match your confession. You can't go, I believe, I'm confessing that my bank account gets full. And the next day say, man, I don't know how we're going to make it. Those won't work. Amen. And so you get this all lined up. I know I'm preaching to the choir, but I got to remind you, it's my job. So, and look, church, the easy way to forgive is to remember your old self. Because you've done just about what you think you're mad at them for. I was praying on the way. I said, Lord, forgive me for opinions and judging and trying to speculate why someone's doing something. If I've done any of that lately and I don't even realize it, forgive me. Opinions have no authority. Speculation is useless. Amen. So anyway, we move through that. So these are, of course, all choice driven. So they marveled then at his power and his authority. Well, where did he get that power and authority? Well, he got it over in Luke 4. he went down to the river in Luke 3. And John the Baptist baptized him. And when he came up from being baptized in the water, he was baptized in the Spirit. And he got Holy Ghost and fire. So then he goes to the synagogue, as was his custom. It turned out to be his time to read. And when he picked up something to read, he read Isaiah. And Isaiah said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me. And you know the list. Maybe I should read you that list just in case you don't know, because this is where you're headed. He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. That's the Jubilee. The Jubilee was every 50 years, and in every 50 years, everybody got their stuff back. Everybody got their stuff back. Everything was turned to them. It was a country music song played backwards. They got their truck back, their land back, their mama back, their dog back. They got everything. They didn't go down the road saying, that's not my truck, or whatever it is they sing. That's my truck. I don't know how it goes, because praise the Lord. Anyway, so he closed the book, and everybody was looking at him. And so He says, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. He is the anointed one. He is the anointed one. Hey, Christ is not Jesus' last name. Christ means Messiah, and it also means the anointed one and his anointing. They just didn't take it out of the Greek. They left it in the Greek. They left baptism in the Greek. If they would have said what baptism really was, it would have said dunk. People baptize donuts all the time in their coffee. Amen? But they didn't, and so now you have all these forms of baptism. Amen. I'm going to leave that alone. Okay, so, but Peter said, when Peter began to preach after Jesus ascended, he quoted this in Acts 10:38. This is when he was in Cornelius' house. He said, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. The devil's the oppressor. Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed. That's what the anointing will do. And then, of course, we know Isaiah 10:27, and it actually says, it shall come to pass in that day that this burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. So what's happening there? I'm going too fast. The anointing is the burden removing, yoke destroying power of God. The anointing is. And guess what happened next? They started preaching over in Antioch, and they began to be called Christians, little Christ, which means you are a little anointed one. You're anointed. There's an anointing on your life, and you need to learn to protect it. And I said all of that I just said to get us to here so we could talk about what we're going to talk about now. Amen. So, how aware are you of the anointing on your life? Well, in these upcoming years, you want to be aware of it. Amen. We're in the greatest awakening. It's here. Things are happening in the earth. Amen. See, the devil wants you to be yoked up. He wants to yoke you up to something. And say, listen, some people, all he has to do is send one little imp, and it'll yoke them up for the rest of their life. Yeah. But you don't have to be, because you're right here, right now, wearing the anointing that will get rid of that. It's about time you believed it. You've heard it long enough. It's time to walk in your anointing, and it's time to protect your anointing. Amen. So if you're tied up, usually you got tied up because it messed with your thoughts. Because the only way the devil can yoke you up is through your thought life. Deception. It's the only way. He has no power over you. He's a defeated foe. The only thing he can do is mess you up there. But the anointing can set you free. It breaks barriers. It'll, through you, others can get set free. Amen. In a lot of ways, church, in your loving them, in your witnessing to them, and in your praying for them. If you pray for them, amen. So in this time, we're headed into that place where there will be an increase of anointing and anointings. So it's going to be your choice whether you're going to increase in your anointing in your life or not. It's going to be your choice. And listen, hell will try to stop you. But are we going to let a little imp, are we really going to fall for this stuff? No, we're not. We're going to cast those thoughts out. And we're going to stand in the authority that God has given us. So, changes are coming. There are divine appointments. There are new positions. There are new assignments coming. But there's no need for appointing if there's no anointing. Why would we do that? You know, there are positions that come available all the time in the body of Christ. But why would I want to appoint someone who could care less about what's going on in the spirit realm? I've been thinking about that a lot. Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I believe that God feels that way. He wants people to walk in their anointing. Now, I'll just mention a couple things to you, and then we're going to pick up Sunday. Couple of things, meaning I got a roll here. But here's where we're going to go. We're going to take a deeper dive into new wine, holy fire, and fresh oil. That's what we're going to do. And tonight I'm going to talk to you about fresh oil for just a couple of minutes that we have left here. So if you know anything about anointing, it's rubbing on, right? You anoint someone, you rub it on. In the place they live in Jerusalem, oil was really popular because it was dusty and yucky, and oil was a way of refreshing. Amen? Okay, so oil is in the Bible 77 verses. Talks about oil. So fresh oil is a big deal. Now listen to Psalm 92, verse 10. But my horn you have exalted like a wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil. Now this is what David said. He probably is talking about the new unction of the office of the king. He's going into this place. So what we would see is we would see new supplies of grace for his next chapter. So perhaps a new supply of gifts are what you're going to get if you're moving into your next assignment. Amen. Right? So I think we should be looking for them. You know, we always use the thing of dress for the season. We're not going to go into shorts and flip-flops into December this next year. We're going to be dressed for the season. We'll be anointed for the season that we're going to go into. David was actually anointed three times. Samuel came in and anointed him for his assignment. Judah came in and anointed him for acceptance. He was accepted as king from the tribe of Judah. And then the anointing of advancement came when Israel recognized him as king. So he moved in steps into what God called him into, and there were anointings for this. You can get an anointing for your assignment, then an anointing of favor, which would be the acceptance into it, and then you can get an anointing for advancement. Now, having said that, I want you to know that there is also just an anointing for living. There's an anointing for living. And we need to be living in that. We need to be anointed to live good. Amen. All right. So now remember, you're living every day united with the vine. Okay? You're living with the one who makes full supply. You're carrying power and authority. You just don't want it to weaken. You don't want it to weaken. And so I want to ask you to consider the second law of thermodynamics. Have you ever heard the word entropy? You know what entropy is? Entropy is when a house is empty for a long time and nobody lives in it and everything just kind of starts. Yeah. Right? This is kin to that. The easiest thing that I guess we could say here would be everything tends toward disorder if it's left alone. Yeah. If it's left alone, it will tend toward disorder. Isolated systems seem to go into disorder, right? So Hebrews 1:10 says, "And you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain, and they will all grow old like a garment." Now, right there, among a zillion other reasons, is why evolution is simply cannot be true. That scripture right there is why evolution cannot be true. Because the theory of evolution, and it's exactly that. It's a theory. It says that things have progressively gotten better. Things don't progressively get better without God. Come on, look around. Think about it. What's progressively gotten better in your life without God? Nothing. And so, you know, what that's saying is, if you just look at it in the natural, this law of thermodynamics would be that things get better without any outside help. That's just not true. Nothing gets better without outside help. Nothing. Nothing gets better in your God life without God. You got to be connected to the vine. Amen. Praise the Lord. So it's real easy for me to see that evolution is nothing. It doesn't make any sense at all. You know, when left on our own, we get worse. Yeah, not better. Everything in our lives left unattended will eventually fall apart and disintegrate. Your body would fall apart if you didn't take care of it. And if you don't believe that, try not brushing your teeth for a while. Amen. All right, how about this? Consider your house. If you don't check for termites, if you don't look around, your house could fall down in a few years. You need to keep a watch over it. Consider your car. This is a real easy one. If you don't change the oil, that fresh oil goes a long way. Amen. Its days of usefulness get shortened if you don't change the oil. So you would need to begin to develop a fondness of walking if you're not going to check on your car. And then you got to wash your car. Because if you don't wash your car, salt and corrosion and all kinds of stuff will come in. And after a while, one of your bumpers is going to fall off. Right? I mean, you have to take care of it. You can't just go, oh, let's just leave it, whatever. Well, you could, but if you consider it, it's not going to last. I mean, nowadays, I don't know about you, but we keep records, time records of when to go take the car in for the oil change. In fact, the Lexus just sends me a deal and says, it's time. Amen. Glad about that. Consider your yard. Thanks to Adam, we have to work the soil. So if you just don't do anything with your yard, then it's going to grow up into a point where eventually Hollywood's going to show up and ask you if they can film Tarzan in your yard. Right? You got to mow your grass, take care of it, do what you need to do. I like that part. Amen. You have to mow it. You have to do it. It won't do it itself. I guess you could get a bunch of goats if you want to. They tear up stuff, though. Amen. Praise the Lord. Consider your marriage. One of the problems in many marriages is this. The things you did with your mate, if you don't keep doing them, life is not going to be impressive with them. I'm telling you, the sweet nothings that you whispered in their ear to try to get them to marry you, to convince you, it's not enough to suffice after 5 years. Amen. Things will go downhill if you don't keep courting your bride. Amen. Show your wife honor. Show your husband honor. Show them love. Amen. That's not your old lady. That's your bride. I love it because my brother texted me, how you doing? Did y'all do okay through the little storm the other night? You know, he's my big brother. And he said, my bride. Now, my brother's 77, I think, 78. He said, my bride's about to go to London. And I thought, how sweet. I mean, she's a sweet lady. But I thought, how sweet that he considers her his bride. Praise the Lord. But if you don't do anything with your marriage, it'll start going downhill. In fact, any relationship that you take for granted will go the other way. You gotta do something. You gotta pay attention to it. Amen. I'm glad you are agreeable. I see all the wives and husbands are happy. Praise the Lord. So, you know, you might need some fresh affirmation. You know, you might have to choke it up and say, I love you every once in a while. Give a hug. Bring some flowers. Do something. Praise the Lord. So, the most important area in which we have to guard against deterioration is our walk with God. Yeah, just how Satan desires that our relationship with God would deteriorate. That's what he wants to do. You know, we think things are better on our own. I've heard people say that, well, I'll be all right. I'll stay in prayer. I'm not going to go to church anymore, but I'll stay in prayer. And I'll do this and I'll, but you know, the Bible says do not forsake yourself, the assembling together with the saints. Amen. It says you actually forsake yourself if you don't assemble. And you think you'll stay in there and you'll be all right, and you do. You love God and a lot of things go okay. But it's way better if you do not get isolated.
Right.
Way better. You don't forsake yourself with the body, because you got to keep all the body parts together. Amen. And so we don't want our relationship with the church, but particularly right here, I'm talking about God. We don't want that to deteriorate. And we don't want our spirits destroyed, our faith to become weak, our resolve to be watered down, our good habits to change, our time with God and the Word to change. So church-going habits to change, whatever they all are. So The thing about it is, it's most visible to other people. Amen. A lot of times we don't even notice, and other people can see some. You remember the saying, you can't see the forest for the trees? How true that is sometimes we can't see how weak we've actually become, and we just talk ourselves into, oh, I'm okay. Amen. Praise the Lord. I am confident that God constantly wants us to renew our relationship with Him. To stay close to Him, to talk to Him, to listen to Him. Not for His benefit, for our benefit. So, you know, some people try to survive on stale bread. Say, yeah, it's not good. Or maybe try to survive on a stale vision. How about that? Or some of us are trying to remain saved with stale beliefs or stale joy. Well, I can act like I'm joyful. You can act like a lot of things. It doesn't mean you are. It's gonna shine through eventually. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I think you know where I'm going with this. It's time for fresh oil. We need fresh oil. And the Bible says, do not be drunk with wine, but be constantly being filled with the Spirit. And so it's time to come to the filling station. It's time to fill up with God. It's your baptism in the Holy Ghost. So my baptism in the Holy Spirit was 1976. I've been saved since I was 9, but I went to the Baptist church and they didn't do that. And so, but when I moved off and I went to the place where it happened, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. But it wasn't a one-time event. We have to be refreshed. We have to get fresh oil. We need to be baptized over and over again. And church, a lot of times this happens at the time of worship. That's why, so we fumbled around on that song earlier, but I was trying to go somewhere. It's great that we sing songs about what we can do and what we have in Christ. That's all good, but we need to lift up Jesus. We need to pray. We need to worship Him. I give you praise, Lord, now and forever. With my hands lifted high, looking up to the skies, it goes something like that. I give you praise. Amen? Singing about God's goodness, singing about how good He is. Taking the time, not just to enjoy the song, but to literally worship Him. Because that's when the Holy Spirit can move. And the Holy Spirit, by the way, can move right now while I'm preaching. And He can move on you and give you a fresh oil right now. And I've seen fresh oil come so many times in my life, and I'm ready to see it again. The times I could tell you about that we called it carpet time. I mean, we had some times where we were flowing. We had some times at our house when the river flowed deep. But I'm telling you, there's even something more powerful than those days coming. Church, I went to a Benny Hinn meeting one time, and the power of God was so strong. It was like in this huge, almost like a, it was like a, oh, you know, the size of the AT&T place or something. It was huge. And Deb was with me, and we went walking down the aisle, and the closer we got to the stage, I didn't even know if I could live. It was so, the anointing was so powerful. It was so very strong. God wants to manifest on you like that. God wants to give you fresh oil. There have been times when the laughter would break out. And people would be, I've told you these stories before, but you need to long for this. Have you ever watched Rodney Howard Brown? You've seen him on, well, he actually was a Copeland kid. He came to our Southwest Believers Convention many years ago, and he's, you know how he's just straight and he's just teaching, and the people can't help, they start laughing. And people laughed so hard and got so drunk that we could not walk out of the building. Were any of y'all there? I'm telling you, we were crawling out of the building. It was, and we would just look, we'd walk by and like we were just going to get over it and be sober, and we'd look at each other and go, and we just all fall down. I'm walking out of the building. The power of God was so strong on our life. One lady was driving home, and she's kind of driving a little bit drunk, not drunk on booze, but drunk on God, and a cop stopped her, and when she opened the door to talk to him, he fell out. John and Rachel may have been with us on this, or maybe even you were there, I'm not sure. We were at Billy Brim's, and we went to Denny's. Was it us? We went to Denny's, and the Holy Ghost fell in Denny's. And everybody in there broke out in laughter. And the waitresses were getting so blessed. God was just pouring out his spirit. God, you remember the times at the church, God would just pour out his spirit. And everybody, the anointing would be so strong. And God would just remove burdens. He would just destroy yokes. People would just get up and be different people. They would be healed. They would be delivered. You all remember Pensacola, the things that happened at Pensacola. You can watch it on YouTube, the stuff that happened in there. God came down in there and went, boom. People lied. Did you know that they had to build 30 hotels to take care of that revival? They put up restaurants. It changed the whole town. The movement in Toronto, you probably know about that. Well, our pastor went. Walt went to that. And when he came back, he was so soaked with the glory that it blasted all of us for months. For months, we were loaded. We had Anchor Ministries back then, and I remember, Debbie, we had a piano in our house. Was it your piano? Yeah, I thought so. So we had a big living room, and Debbie would play All Consuming Fire on the piano. And I'm telling you, the Spirit of God would drop. Sometimes he would come in an anointing where it was just one place. And people, remember that? People would walk into it and just fall down. God wants to do that here. God wants to do it big. God wants to do it for you. God wants you to be drenched in the anointing. He wants you to have fresh oil. He wants the glory. There are things that fit together that bring the glory. Worship is the big thing. Surrender. Actually, Israel is a part of the glory. Those that love Israel have a tendency to get deeper into the glory. Isn't that interesting? And there's some other components, but waiting on the Lord, blessing the Lord, really getting into that place where it just isn't a mental place where, we're going to do 3 songs and then pastor's going to preach. And then, I'm telling you, those days are going to roll down to a different place. I've been off my notes for about 6 to 8 minutes right now. Because God is beginning to take this thing in a different direction. And we need to be ready to go to it. We need to surrender to the fresh oil. When the fresh oil comes, you can write like you've never written before. You mark my words. There have been times when I was in such an anointing, I've written some short stories. I usually don't share them, but I could go home and my writing is totally different. Totally different. People write songs different when the anointing's stronger. We have friends that, you remember Steve Young?
Yes.
He wrote a song that went around the world. in all this time frame. Wish I could recall it, but you would know it. You would know the song. It's going to happen again. Only you'll be some of the songwriters. You'll have songs going around the world. You'll be the one to remove burdens and destroy yokes. You'll be the one to see the miracles. Remember the happy hunters? They come into a place. I'm telling you, the anointing would fall so hard. They're just the sweetest things. John and Rachel, y'all remember when they'd come to the church and he would sleep while she preached? Because they're old. I mean, they're old. And he would be sleeping. Y'all remember that? And we'd be kind of going, sleep. And then all of a sudden, he'd get up there and they'd do a little something and boom. We're there. We're there again. We need fresh oil. She says, need to let the Holy Ghost just baptize you in the deepest place you've ever gone. You need to stop caring what anybody thinks around you. You need to drop your pride. You need to forget what's going on around you. If you need to take a run, you need to run. If you need to say something out loud and praise God louder than you ever have before, you need to go ahead and do it. You need to go ahead and pray like you want to pray and praise like you want to pray and worship like you want to pray and not think who what if somebody sees me, that'd just be so embarrassing. Hey, forget it. I was telling the group earlier, I don't think I told this Sunday, but Brother Hagin used to talk about this man who he was just this little old man and he would dance, and when he would dance people would get saved. And they were like, we don't get it. We do an altar call and two people get saved. This man gets up and dances and they flood the altars. Just because of this man dancing. Why? Anointing. The anointing. He did things. Whew, just got a jolt there. He did things in the anointing. And when the anointing gets to moving, when the Spirit gets to moving, let it move. Let it move. Let him change things. Let him change you. Now, John the Baptist said this. He said, there's someone coming, and he was talking about Jesus. He said, I've baptized you with water, but he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Amen. And what he meant by that is you get baptized, the Holy Spirit will come on you, in you and on you, yep. On you, not just in you, but on you. But that fire, now, religious people take that and mean, and you'll go through the troubles and it'll make you better. That's not what that means. That fire means what he said in the next scripture. He comes with his winnowing fork. And he shoves it in and he gets the wheat and the chaff separated. That fire burns the chaff out. You carrying around being abused for 50 years, blows it out. You have trouble with alcohol, blows it out. You have trouble feeling rejected, blows it out. You have trouble knowing who you are, blows it out. I'm telling you, God can do something in the spirit realm, and the spirit on you that may take 40 days just in the Word. And the Word's great, and we love the Word, and you know how I feel about the Word. But the Holy Spirit can change you in one night. You can get up and be a different person. You can love better. You can think better. You can write better. You can reason better. You can flow better than you ever have before. You can move your body parts better than you ever have before, because the anointing will remove the burdens and destroy. Destroy the yokes. And that's the truth. Come on, my soul. Don't you get shy on me. Amen. It's time to get back to what we'd call our roots and then go further. Danny texted me yesterday and he said, did you know that right out here at Fairland, where the Ark is putting their new facility? Y'all know what the Ark is? Okay. So where they're putting their new facility. And I did actually know this because I read Noah Smithwick's book. But there was a Holy Ghost revival out there. Right there at Fairland. There's an old building there. If you ever go, Deb and I have been out there and looked at it many years ago. Well, Noah Smithwick wrote about that in his book, in his history book around here. But did you know that those people were connected to Charles Parham? Did I have the name right? Yeah. You know, the guy who, you know who it is. Is that right? Yeah, I have his name right. That's good. So this is Azusa Street time. And it happened right here in this town. And that's why year after year after year, you'll always hear people around here say, all the old Holy Ghost Christians around here are always saying, one day, we're going to get back and it's going to get bigger. And people are saying, we're going to need a big facility to meet in because all the churches will get together and the glory of God will manifest. I believe that. We're one of the few communities that can actually do that. We put down, a lot of people won't get together. We're not going to get with those people over there who speak in tongues. And we're not, but our people do. They do. They've done that for years. You can ask Dean and Elaine Brown. They told me about it years ago. And Vivian knows about it. And Mata probably knows about it. That people would just get together. It didn't matter who you were. It's still going on today. The Ark is the one that brings everybody together. But praise the Lord. But I'm telling you, we're going to have our own Holy Ghost revival too, right here. Yeah. The fire's not dying out with us. This thing is getting hotter and hotter. Yeah. It's blooming hotter and hotter. Your life can change overnight. It can get better and better. You just need to quit resisting the anointing because of any pride issue. You need to just go ahead and grab some. You just need to go ahead and take a drink. I tell you, when we were on that ship, we don't drink, and so it was no big deal for us, but those guys carried 4 wine bottles around with them to every table on the river cruise that we were just on. And I mean, everybody holding their glasses out there. And they could not understand what's... And finally, when we started to get to the last days, we noticed there would be 6 glasses of orange juice for the toast for the 4 of us and the captain and the director. I noticed that. They finally picked up that we didn't drink. But listen, the kind of wine I'm talking about, drink up. There's no high like the Most High. You need to taste it. You need to just taste some of Him right now. You just need to have a taste right now. You just need to receive from Jesus what He's doing right now. You need some Holy Ghost and fire in your life. You might need some old Pentecostal moving. You might. Praise the Lord. Well, you know, we don't act like that because, you know, it's just too embarrassing. You better get over it. You're going to see some things like you've never seen before. People are going to be running to altars. People are going to be coming in and saying, and we've already had that happen. I had someone come a few weeks ago. I prayed for them the night before. They were on their way to HEB. We haven't seen them in 5 years, 6 years, maybe 8 years. And they said, I couldn't help it. I had to turn in there and come to church. What's happening? The power of Almighty God, the anointing of Almighty God, drawing people. Yes. All these people that have been stuck and oppressed and not letting things happen. The anointing, the authority, the things we're praying are changing things. Yeah, we pray for things around the world and things happen, but I'm telling you right now in our meetings, in us, in me, in you, God wants to change some things. Amen. It's time to win. It's time to get that little monkey yoke off your back. Dirty, lying devil has to get out. He has no authority with us. Whatever he needs to change, relationships, jobs, crowds, thinking, food, whatever it is, go with him, because you're going to win like you never have before. You're going to walk up to people and they're going to sense the anointing on you. You remember Brother Jerry? I've been watching Brother Jerry, some real old ones of his. They're so sweet. Brother Jerry walking around in the mall and some ladies running after him saying, hey, I need to talk to you. I need to talk to you. He said, how did you pick me out? She said, I followed a little light that was shining around. That's what's on you, church. That's what's on you. You're a light. You're a light. And that light shines brighter when you get some fresh oil. So when we come in here on Sunday morning, we're going to sing our song Sunday morning. Don't just sing the songs, worship. Come ready to worship. Come thinking about worship. And let that worship bring you into a brand new place. Well, I just don't know what to do. Well, here, start here. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I honor you. I love you. I bless you. I lift you higher. Get a psalm. I lift up mine eyes to the hills from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord. Those just words like that, just saying things like that, will just draw him in. Amen? He won't listen. We're like, well, if God would just come down and change things and we could see the glory. No, we need to go to where he is. We need to go to where he is. And we need to be men and women who get over our flesh and just do it.
That's right.
Well, it's just awkward to me. Get over it. Get over it being awkward. Amen. It's time. I mean, think about it. How silly is it for us to sit around, talk to God about all our problems, get nowhere with him, and he's the biggest one in the universe with all this power and anointing, and we're staying in this one little spot when we could break loose into so many things. Your sleep could be sweeter than ever before because of the anointing that saturated us here tonight. You could just go ahead and just get a little drunk right now. You could just get spirit right and just start feeling really good right now. Just take a drink right now. Lord, give everybody a drink right now. Here, right before we close. We got 2 minutes before we close. Father, we thank you. We bless you. We praise you. We love you, Lord. We thank you for the anointing on our lives. We thank you for fresh oil. We thank you for fresh baptisms in the Holy Ghost and fire. We thank you for the new wine. We're getting ready for the new season. And we thank you for it, Lord. We drink in Jesus' name. We drink of your goodness. We drink of your love. We drink of what all you have for us. Those of you that are watching online, take a drink. Just take a drink of the Holy Ghost. There's no distance in the anointing. There's no distance in the Spirit. You can just come right into the presence of God. God is in the room. Everywhere Jesus went, miracles happened. Jesus is here. He's doing miracles right now. Someone, your left shoulder's been hurting. You're healed in the name of Jesus. Something's wrong with someone's foot. It's healed in the name of Jesus. Someone with a liver situation, that liver is healed in Jesus' name. See, God always comes in. When you yield to him, things happen. You want to move into a new place. You want to move into a new job. You want to move into a new house. You want to get debt free. Move into God in Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. So you're like, well, it's just selfish to want to do that. Listen, go over there and read Hebrews 11:6. It says that God wants us to seek him because he takes pleasure in blessing us. It's his good pleasure to bless us. You can't outgive God. He wants to do it. You don't have to feel bad about that. No. He wants to bless you.
Amen.
He is the vine. The answer's there. You just have to receive it. And you'll start receiving it if you'll surrender to God.
Amen.
Just get a picture of that old Nestea commercial where you just fell back into the pool. That's what just fall back into his arms. Fall back into his spirit. Fall back into what he has. Fall back into his rest. Fall back into his joy. Fall back into the gifts of the Spirit. Fall back into the authority that belongs to you. Just fall back into him. Just take it, because it's all yours. He's better than the guys going around with four wine bottles. He's better than that. He's got it all in Jesus' name. He's got it all. Be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Take a deep enough drink that you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. He actually gets so heavy on your body that you have to worship God. You want to worship God. You want to speak about God. You want to overflow with God. You're spitting nails because you're getting so high in the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the Holy Ghost, Lord. Thank you for the fire in this house, Lord. Thank you for breaking through in the fire, Lord. In Jesus' name. Thank you for the breakthrough, Lord. Somebody ought to take a breakthrough in Jesus' name. Take that breakthrough in the name of Jesus. Let it come through in the name of Jesus. Fire, 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 fire. fire, fire, fire in Jesus' name. A brand new Pentecost tonight in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Fire in Jesus' name. God loves you. We love you. Stay in victory. Bye-bye.